With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Boys here, wishing you all a happy Canada Day if you're listening to this on release, July 1st, 2020. Coupons are valid if you're late in your local country, except for Hawaii, Alaska, and Quebec, which are the freak parts of both of those countries. And a happy belated birthday to myself again, which was yesterday if you're listening on release.
Happy I'm 29. Birthday yesterday, Peter.
I am the eldest lore boy.
But it's tomorrow today.
It is, yeah, exactly. Tomorrow, today, and yesterday, now, when you're listening to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, celebrating my birthday and the birth of our nation, sort of, except for when it was formed from rocks and whatnot, we'll be continuing our exploration of the Christian afterlife in the Divine Comedy.
Cool. Who's going to be joining you on that exploration, Peter?
Oh, we'll get into it. It's still going to be Virgil and Dante, but also I've got a couple other boys who I want to introduce, whose birthdays it's not. Let me get through my preamble.
Lore boy, Ethan here.
Who else is here?
happy birthday to me. It's in 2 months. So, well, month and a bit now. I'm the middlest lore boy. Some call me the cutest and the funniest, but, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Centered.
Because I'm James, the baby lore boy who wears a diaper to game longer.
Yeah.
it's really the only way.
And also because he's not potty trained.
No.
Well, it's hard. No.
And we haven't recorded together in the same room for several months, so no one's been around to change his newspaper. So I think the diaper was the simplest solution.
I just pour cat litter on top underneath my chair at this point, and you just kind of mix it around.
Yeah. Cut a hole in your seat.
Yeah.
It's like one of those speed biking seats where like the athlete's balls can rest comfortably, not against the bike seat. I'm pretty sure that's what that groove is for, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sure. So James here. I just started playing Minecraft, and if you guys want to start playing together, we may or may not have a Loreboy server coming together soon. If you guys have an extra server laying around, that'd be really cool to get one going. I'm putting the bat signal out for that. Let's play some Minecraft together.
So, the last time we talked about the Divine Comedy, we did Inferno. What do you guys remember from Inferno?
There was layers, like a Shrek.
Yeah. Okay.
One of them was you're running up and down a riverbank naked, and wasps are stinging you.
That's the vestibule of hell. That's the prequel to Shrek. The vestibule of hell.
That's hell light.
Yeah.
There was one where you were stuck in mud or lava. I can't remember. And demons just flew around insulting you.
That was one section of fraud, and that was for corrupt politicians. And it was boiling pitch. There it was tar. Go. And then, they had their comedy roast demons.
Boiling pitch is kind of a cross between lava and mud, though, when you think about it.
Is it? I don't know how they make it.
We had lust. Lust was everybody was naked and wanted to touch each other, but big old gusts of wind would take you away anytime you tried to get close.
Stop touching.
The fuck hurricane.
Yeah. There's the suicide people who get to be trees that bleed for the rest of their lives. There was...
The bottom there was... It was all icy and cold. There was...
Yep.
Was it Michael, the archangel? Or it was Satan. It was Satan, Lucifer. Who was
Archangel Michael, frozen at the center of hell. Like, what?
Isn't he, though? Isn't Lucifer the fallen archangel, Michael?
He is. Is I don't know if they're the same person.
I don't know if it's Michael. Anyway,
Lucifer is his like pre-Satan.
Yeah. Okay. There's also that one layer where you have to listen to all of our episodes, but they have the quality of our first episode.
Yeah. That's also that's treachery, but that's the ultimate sin. That's personal treachery against God.
Yeah.
although when we finally get to Paradiso, we're gonna get to the section of hell where you get to listen to our season one, but with the quality of today.
Oh yep. Yeah. That's what it's all trying to amount to. So. When we last left Dante and Virgil, and again, if you're lost here, there's a whole episode about hell you can listen to. And we last hung out with Dante and Virgil. They were climbing down Satan's gross matted fur, while he is at the center of the final circle of hell, treachery. He still kind of hangs off the edge of the planet, sort of.
Okay.
So they can climb down his body, and he's too distracted chewing on Judas, Brutus, and Cassius to like to worry about the living, and also Virgil's ghost. It is specified in the beginning of Purgatorio, which is the part of the poem we're doing right now, that they're climbing down Satan feet first, which originally I thought was weird because it's not like the normal way of descending a ladder is head first.
Yeah. Right? Let me just be clear. They're not swan diving off the edge of Satan here, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Very orderly. We climb
safely down Satan's body, respecting OSHA standards of
shit. Yeah. They both wore harnesses at all times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They had a guy down at the bottom holding the rope for when they were... They're bouldering.
One guy was climbing at a time. The other guy had to spot him. You know.
Yeah.
They had CCPA glasses on just in case there's any debris that got kicked up by the wind.
Yep. Very important. Yeah. Just in case any stray jisms get blown up by the horny hurricane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all like one of those people frozen in ice for treachery is like some secret inspector to make sure the conditions of hell are appropriate for the dance. Oh, very safe climbing here, guys. You passed the test.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever done secret shopping. My sister's done it a few times. It's where like a company will pay you to go into a store and spy on the employees to make sure they're doing their jobs properly.
I've heard of it. I didn't know it was so easy to do, and I did not know that your sister was a narc.
Yeah, she did it when she had no job and was just like, I want a bunch of weird, odd jobs at some point. So yeah, she like narked for some retail chain at some point. Like she fudged it. It's not like she was like, yeah, like customer service girl was a bitch, but just like, yeah, she was a retail narc at one point.
Okay,
dude,
go ahead.
I was on the receiving end of that when I worked at McDonald's. And there was a guy whose job it was to go to all the Eastern Ontario McDonald's and order things, measure how long it took, see the quality of the food, like the order the toppings were put on, like everything. Yeah.
That sounds
imagine
hellish.
That's your job.
That sounds being on both ends of that sounds hellish. Although like to Peter's point, if you're gonna do it just to fuck it up and skew those numbers and just be like, no, this one, like the worst one was the best one. And then the best one, you just call it the shittiest one, like whenever I get an ad on YouTube, and you guys, I might have told you guys this, but I don't know if I've told the listeners. Anytime I get an ad on YouTube that's a survey, I always answer it just completely incorrectly. Like, it was like, which of these brands have you heard of? I'll only select brands that I haven't heard of, and I'll never select brands that I have heard of.
So I was thinking about that, and there's a way that they can actually see which ads they ran to you. And if they catch you being a liar once, then they probably just throw out all of your data.
Well, good.
Like,
I hope they do throw out all of my data. Oh, darn, no. What am I going to do if Google doesn't have my data?
No, but I think the best way to do it is answer like two or three right and then answer the rest of them wrong.
It feels like a lot of work. Now it feels like a lot of work, you know?
Yeah. Not like Frank anymore. So while the boys here are climbing down Satan, they reach his genitals, which are at the center of the planet, and gravity flips.
Grab his one. You gotta say that again.
I love
gravity flips as they pass through the center of the Earth.
I love gravity. I love the idea that the Earth revolves around Satan's genitals.
That's apparently it.
That is like verbatim how it works, huh?
Heaviest material on the planet.
Yeah, Satan's huge balls are the densest part of the planet.
Yeah, yeah. The Earth's molten core is stored in the balls.
Yeah, in my mind. So as they're going down, Virgil, now this is why it was specified that they were climbing down feet first, because as gravity shifts into the other direction on the opposite hemisphere, Virgil begins to rotate and climb down towards what are known as the antipodes, which I will get into. They're not one of Satan's weird demon sex organs. It's not like the testicles, the penis, and the antipodes. And it's like, yeah, you're going to want to go around those.
That's it. The third gender, Satan.
Satan. So this is Goop, InfoWars, and the devil. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dante is originally initially confused by this and got the impression they were returning to hell after only climbing downwards for about an hour and a half. He senses a scam, asks Virgil what the fuck is going on, and Virgil clarifies that it's already almost morning where they are, because he has to explain time zones to Dante.
Yeah, yeah.
No, which is weird. Dante is writing this and is a self-insert and has another character explain to his self-insert time zones.
But it's like they're antipodes, right? So they're like the two edges of the earth where everyone's brushing their teeth. He's like, no. When we left hell, those figures trapped in ice were brushing their teeth. We come out here, they're brushing their teeth. It's got to be the same place.
An hour and a half? Are you kidding me? Yeah, exactly.
I love that callback.
We already have an antipodal theory, thankfully.
Yeah.
So Virgil explains time zones, and then just after passing through the center of the earth, they are now 12 hours ahead specifically of Jerusalem, which was considered the central city of the northern hemisphere. So at the center of the earth, it's now 7:30 Saturday morning, meaning Jerusalem is currently 7:30 p.m. on Good Friday. So even Dante in the 1300s believed in a round earth.
Good. Yeah, I mean,
take that, Facebook.
Yeah, take that, the Alex Jones gender, I guess.
The InfoWars people. as they head down, Virgil also explains that the southern hemisphere once had land on it, but it recoiled north in horror when Satan fell from heaven and crashed into the planet. And the only dry land on the southern hemisphere is the mountain of Purgatory, which rose out of the ocean when Satan fell. So he basically crashed down and popped out like a big rock plug. And then all the other continents were like, ugh, and ran north to hide from Satan.
But Mount Purgatory floats.
It's an island. So it is presumably connected to the seabed.
Yeah, wait. Are there floating islands?
No.
Garbage.
Next question.
That one.
Wait, all of them go all the way down to the earth? They're like little mountains that peak out of the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shit.
Like tip to, so base to tip, the tallest mountain in the world is not Mount Everest. It's an underwater mountain. The largest waterfall in the world, too, if you want to be real pedantic, is technically underwater, and it's off the coast of Iceland.
Interesting.
Two different bodies of water meeting, and one of them just like it's much, much colder, so it just drops right down, but the cliff is like unimaginably high, basically.
That just gave me like nightmare fuel. Imagine being like underwater, falling down an underwater waterfall.
No, thank
and freezing, yeah, going down into the blackness. Oh my god.
You drown twice.
He double drowned.
Exactly. He drowned twice off the coast of Iceland. Oh no.
Oh no.
We had to send down two expeditions. We had like a submarine inside a different submarine to be able to go into this underwater river.
Yeah, Subnautica DLC. They got to put an underwater waterfall.
Yeah, well, there is like lakes of incredibly saline water just at the bottom of the ocean. It's like heavy it separates from the ocean water.
Yeah, and they're like lethal. They're fully lethal to most life. And they just look like normal, so like most like fish will just like swim into them and then just like instantly die.
And die.
They just get cooked by the salt.
Yeah. Anyway, there's your animal fact of the podcast. We got it.
that should be one of the levels of hell, man. That's right? Terrifying. Yeah.
That's the underwater saline lakes.
Yeah. I mean, I think in Dante's time, like he might have known the Earth was round, but I bet the ocean floor at its darkest depths was completely unimaginable to him. Right.
Yeah. And they're pretty unimaginable to most of us.
Exactly.
The Mountain of Purgatory is antipodal directly to Jerusalem, meaning it is on the exact opposite of Dante's spherical Earth. Mm-hmm. In real life, round earthers state that the antipodes are points on the planet that are the perfect opposites of each side of the sphere. And the estimate is about 3-15% of all land on Earth is antipodal to other land. Some examples from Wikipedia are Eastern China and Mongolia are antipodal to Chile and Argentina.
Yep. I just watched an episode of QI yesterday, and they talked about antipodes a lot, actually. So
perfect.
I did my homework.
You know that you're ready for this.
Yeah. I went on the subreddit where people find someone who lives on the opposite side of the Earth of each other and put a piece of bread on the ground and called it an Earth sandwich.
Oh, yeah, Earth sandwich.
They also talked about that on QI, so I did my homework for both of you, I guess.
Good.
Well, geez. So after some more climbing down up now, from on the other side of the planet, Virgil and Dante squeezed through a narrow crack in the rock formed by the frozen lake Cocytus that...
Sorry. So they crossed the equator. Now are they climbing up the ladder feet first? Did they stop to switch around?
No, because remember, Virgil rotates.
Okay, so okay.
He's not scooting feet first up, like pushing his body up the ladder. The natural position of the ladder is you have to ascend it feet first and descend it head first. That is... classic power line safety.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you get to the midpoint,
power lines with your feet,
you gotta just bounce off of Satan's balls and flip around on your way down, right?
Yeah. With your rollerblades, just like boing.
Yeah. My moon boot. Good thing I brought my moon boots.
Product placement of the Divine Comedy. Label out on that Red Bull, Virgil. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so much more awake now.
Yeah. Well, you'd also have wings, so you could just fly, right?
Well, he's not an angel. He's a pagan.
But he drank Red Bull, dude.
Oh, well, he's got temporary wings now. That's true.
Yeah. Red Bull, get out of
here. Even Dante knew that the wings were metaphorical.
Red Bull makes you piss gasoline. Red Bull. Drink enough, you'll probably get kidney stones.
I'm going to say it's a kidney failure in a can. So they squeeze through a narrow crack in the rock formed by the frozen lake Cocytus, which imprisons the treacherous, and the river Lethe, the river of oblivion. Lethe here is a river that flows down from the summit of Mount Purgatory and is the fifth and final river of Hades from Greek mythology that Dante has used. All the four previous ones are in hell itself, and we discussed those already.
Okay. Does Lethe flow down the mountain head first or feet first?
I mean, that depends on, like, you have to tickle a river and see which end laughs, right, to see, to figure that out, because you can't ask it.
To tickle a river sounds like a T.S. Eliot poem or something.
Yeah. To tickle a river. Contemplations. Lethe is the river of forgetfulness. In the Aeneid, or the Aeneid Virgil wrote in real life, he wrote that the dead drink from this river to forget their lives and be reincarnated. It also flows through the river of Hypnos, the god of sleep, where the babbling of its brooks put the dead to sleep.
The Lethe is the river of what again?
Forgetfulness.
Oh,
got him.
That's how you
bang.
That's how you find the which side of the brook is the head. It's the side that babbles.
Oh, yeah.
So Dante kind of invented ASMR, like the subtle babbling of the brook puts the dead to sleep for gaming and studying.
Yeah, Twitch.tv/Amaranth.
That was Brooks. The poets finally emerge in the very early morning of Easter Sunday, April 10th, 1300, again, local time, because they're on the other side of the planet.
Okay.
And the mountain extends out of the ocean towards a starry sky. Now, given our lives growing up within Western canon, what do you guys think purgatory is like?
Boring.
I had the wrong impression going into this.
So I was told it's like the waiting room from what we hear, but... I'd imagine that's not the case.
Ethan, what'd you say?
I said boring, but So like Jamie says, if the waiting room of hell was wasps on a river, riverbank, stinging your naked body, then I'm going to guess it's like, I don't know, ice baths and electroshock therapy.
Oh, you think it's like an asylum from the 30s?
Yeah. Ways to make people healthy again, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Hang him upside down and put toads in his pants. That'll fix his insanity.
Electro too much blood. Get it out.
Electroshock therapy actually has like positive effects on depression, and okay. like they people still do it now today. Yeah, and huh. it helps some people.
Yeah, but the whole thing with it is it's elective, right? It's
yeah,
when, it's when like you incarcerate someone, strap them to a table, and then make them suffer it. It suddenly yeah. loses those beneficial properties. Like
yeah. Electric and elective go well together, I guess.
The
yeah.
electric elective. Oh, that's what we should have called this podcast, guys.
Electric elective?
That's a great name for a podcast. Nobody take that, okay?
We can make another one about music and just call it that.
The electric elective.
I don't know anything about music.
Or we could just start a podcast about electroshock therapy and asylums in the 30s.
Oh, and it's healthy benefits.
Yeah.
My little brother had it. We'd have a guest. So.
So compared to hell... you guys are exactly like we were all had the same assumptions about purgatory. You're completely wrong.
I figured, yeah. The way you led the question, I was like, okay, here's one that I'm going to be wrong about.
Yeah. Objection, leading the witness. So Dante, being the Marie Kondo of the 14th century, loves him some organizing.
Yeah, got to tidy.
The mountain of purgatory is once again divided up into sections, this time called terraces. While the overarching allegory for this entire section of the comedy is penance, as well as describing how sin is derived from love.
So they're terraces. They like get little shrimp cocktails and fun drinks with little like umbrellas in it and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, a 20-liter pitcher is $40.
Wow.
Yeah, now, from 5 to 7.
Are masks mandatory on the terraces? Or
not at this time, actually.
Oh, wow. That's pretty fucked yeah. up, though, huh?
Yeah.
You just tuck a paper straw under your mask. So you can drink your beer pint.
Yeah.
What is this? What is this new hell? I hated paper straws before the pandemic. It tastes weird.
I mean, it's that or maybe kill someone. So, you know, who's
well,
to say what's
I know,
worse?
I know. I mean, frankly, I'm just not going to go to a terrace. Yeah. I'm just going to avoid the whole situation entirely.
Tell me about it.
So love of sex makes you lustful. Love of food makes you gluttonous. Love of seven deadly sins, the anime, makes you a fucking weeaboo.
True.
Okay. As with any good hotel, there is once again a lobby of sorts before getting up to the seven terraces and the penthouse suite. Okay. The lobby in this case is called Ante Purgatory, and it's the shores of the island around the mountain where the lads meet Cato the Younger. Okay. His placement here is still debated because, one, he's a pagan, and like, why is he working in purgatory, not in limbo with other guiltless damned?
Because that's where our boy Virgil's from, right?
Virgil lives in limbo, yeah.
He was devout, but a pagan.
No, he's a virtuous pagan. He is not a Christian.
Sorry, yeah, but not devout, but virtuous. Not devout, so, yeah. Well, did Cato get to come to purgatory because he helped Inspector Clouseau in the Pink Panther movies?
Yes, he taught Virgil karate.
Okay, good.
What is a virtuous pagan?
Somebody good
person who's not Christian.
Has good virtues, is virtuous. I said devout, meaning virtuous, but devout is more believes in religion. Yeah.
Just like a good person, but not Christian, so you can't go to paradise. Sorry, bro.
Okay.
Yeah. So Cato was a real Roman senator who lived between 95 BC and 46 BC. He died in Utica, upstate New York, meaning he never heard the term steamed hams, that was an Albany expression.
Yeah.
We talked about him in one of my university classes, Cato. What did he do?
In life, he had a public conflict with Julius Caesar, was not involved in the assassination plot. He was apparently immune to bribes and had a firm distaste of corruption within the Roman Senate.
Yeah, he was he's known for being a really good senator, I'm pretty sure. Like,
yeah.
At the time, just did things right and like by the book. And he was like one of the big ones who like, always spoke out against Caesar taking power because he's like, we know you're just going to keep the power, blah, 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 and like whatever. And Caesar did. And it wasn't necessarily a bad thing for Rome at the time. Like, through the lens of history, Caesar keeping power wasn't necessarily a bad thing because they did go on to do some pretty incredible things. But probably for the people at the time, it was shittier, you know?
Yeah. And Dante has like kind of mixed feelings on Rome and Caesar, right? Because Cassius and Brutus are both being gnawed on by Satan.
The worst, yeah. The lowest level of hell.
Exactly. And then he's got somebody here who is anti-Caesar, Cato, working on the shores of Mount Purgatory.
Where he should never have been able to get.
No, exactly. The debates on his placement within the comedy likely stem from the fact he also killed himself and was not placed in the Forest of Suicides back in Hell.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So for me, my lore boy's canon for this.
What do you mean? What do you mean, good for him? He killed himself. Good for him.
No, he didn't get placed in hell, dude.
He's not in hell.
He made it to purgatory.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that one up. Okay.
Yeah, fair. It was a little ambiguous, I guess.
For our purposes, he seems analogous to Minos in Limbo, who is like a pagan who's given a job in the afterlife, right?
Okay.
So, why he's here, no one can confirm. Can't ask Dante. We don't have the notes he left in the margin, just like Cato the Younger. Suicide? Question mark. Because Cato here has been placed by God himself as a general guardian or like bouncer on the shores of the island. Unlike damnation, in purgatory, souls are guided to the mountain by angels, all the while singing In Exitu Israel de Egypto, after gathering in Ostia, which is a seaport in Rome at the end of the Tiber River.
That's where bones come from.
Toss.
Yeah. You can check out our Command and Conquer episode for more about the Tiber River as well, or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a new Command and Conquer that just came out. Have you guys tried it? Yeah, yeah.
It's an old new. I have not.
It was like a couple weeks ago.
I've only ever played Red Alert.
Okay.
Listen back to our times. Command and Conquer episodes.
Yeah, you just listen to all our episodes, actually. In Exitu Israel de Egypto is an old Italian song telling the story of Exodus, where the Jews left Israel, left for Israel with Moses from Egypt.
Right. I remember that.
In
Let
a letter
my
to his
people
top teacher,
go.
Yeah. Well, it's the Prince of Egypt, the DreamWorks movie.
Yeah.
That movie's fucking awesome.
Very good things.
In a letter to his top patron, Can Grande e della Scala, Dante also explained that the song represents the redemption of Christ and the journey from the soul, journey of the soul from sin to grace. And he has more info on his Patreon, patreon.com/dcomedy69.
Yeah, for the third tier, we've got you a guaranteed spot in heaven. All you need to spend is $250 a month, and
that'd put you in fraud. That's like what is it? That's simony. Is like paying for power in the church.
Damn. I mean, isn't there a sect of Christianity that like leans really hard into the donations? Like all the televangelists, right?
Televangelists do. I don't know if they're like their own sect.
But I wouldn't even name a sect if we had to right now, but then we could just leave it at that.
Evangelical, say, right? Protestants is the ones that Jamie was about to mention before I cut him off here.
Oh my God.
About the whole Protestant Reformation is because Martin Luther thought that buying your sins away was stupid. What the fuck?
Oh, and maybe that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I know like tithing is huge. Like those televangelists, they drive like they all have like private jets, like $57 million. And
yeah.
There's that famous clip of them like reasoning during the 2008, 2009 recession why they need to have private jets and why people shouldn't stop sending in money. And yeah. There's this
one guy who's always on Reddit. He has the evilest face ever. I forget his name, but he's one of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, there was. I mean, with the coronavirus too. Like he like has this thing where he goes out and he's like, "I know all of you. A lot of you are losing your jobs, but you better not stop sending those tithes if you want to get up into heaven." And it's just like,
I gotta pay the pilots of my private jet who are both award-winning stallions.
Yeah, yeah, and they're absolutely not allowed to wear a mask when they're getting on the plane with me. Like,
oh, I was joking that they were actual like racehorses.
But how could they hold the joystick, Peter?
You could, if you're rich enough, you could have like a custom horse use, like a custom like a steering wheel for an airplane that a horse could use.
Sure.
Or cover it in peanut butter like Mr. Ed, and he'd just like fly it that way. anyway. So the lower part of the mountain contain the excommunicate and the late repentant. Detained at the base of a cliff, the excommunicate include Manfred of Sicily. Manfred was the last ruler of Sicily from the Hohenstaufen dynasty, which is, I guess, not a cake or whatever. it sounds like a corner store cake that you can get. Just like, oh, baby, I'm too tired. When you go get when you go get soda, can you pick us up a couple of Hohenstaufens? And she'd be like, of course, honey.
Of course, honey.
They were, the Hohenstaufens were a dynasty of the Holy Roman Empire. Manfred supported the Ghibelline side of the Guelph and Ghibelline conflict, meaning Dante was not a fan.
Yeah, not a fan. He was Guelph.
He wanted two popes, because that's all they ever fought about was, I popes too, but you popes wrong, so let's war. It's like the history of Europe.
One of them basically had to pope better, right? What are the odds that they were perfectly equivalent popes?
Yeah,
that almost never happens.
Manfred, however, did try and smooth things over with the papacy. But he didn't just gave up and defeated the papal army in December of 1254. Following this, he was excommunicated by three popes in a row and was the target of a crusade between 1255 and 1266.
You got to be doing something right, man.
If you're target of a crusade.
Yeah, and excommunication by three popes.
Ultimate badass, yeah. Pope Urban IV then enlisted the help of Charles of Anjou.
Keith Urban was a pope?
Wow. What?
Dude.
He got help from Charles of Anjou, and during the Battle of Benevento, Manfred was killed.
The Pope hat has like the little cowboy hat things on the side.
The brim, the cowboy brim around the. You just hear his spurs underneath his like papal robes. Like
got the Texas tie, the
little bolo. Yeah.
Cold beer.
He would have the
truck with glass windows.
Yeah. Got bulletproof glass for my truck.
So after being excommunicated three times, it's quite obvious why Dante would think Manfred was here at the base of Mount Purgatory.
But again, why not in hell?
Just not bad enough, I guess.
Not a bad enough dude, really, huh?
It's all personal opinion, right? It's not like this isn't. It's like a fictitious autobiography for Dante, so it's just like who did he hate more, you know? Yeah.
It's demon bureaucracy. He didn't check off the right boxes on the forms, so
yeah.
He just didn't end up in the right place, you know. Some slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, it's bound to happen.
Yeah. Some people, you know, we're running a big operation here, you know, the universe. Some people just end up in purgatory. Yeah, you know, you can't really explain it.
Hey, processing 80 billion souls to date. I mean, it's not easy, you know.
Like if they have the accuracy of like the Lego factory, I think that'd be pretty fucking good. Because like something like less than 10 defective Legos are thrown away per million or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the Danes know.
Don't get saucy started. You post enough Lego lore videos in our Discord. Don't even bring it up.
The Lego factory is at the peak of Mount Purgatory. It's the final terrace. Is where they make Lego.
They will get their Lego lore someday. I promise.
Yes, one day. Manfred explains that those there must wait to get into heaven for three times as long as they were resistant to God's laws. However, prayers from the living can reduce their sentence.
So if you got a fan club, dude, we're gonna spend like no time in purgatory because all our adoring fans are gonna pray for us. Obviously,
the lore folk will keep us out of purgatory, or at least like we'll be there for like a weekend. Exactly.
It's kind of
there's
nice
a business
spot
to be had. So, in the funeral home, so we have this option for the casket. If you like, we have 100 people who could pray for them to get them into heaven quicker. If not, that's okay. It's your money. You don't have to spend.
Yeah, they will be spending time in purgatory.
Jamie, I think what you're talking about is actual indulgences, which Martin Luther did not like. You could totally pay to absolve the dead and get them out of purgatory quicker.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're the first guy who thought that Catholicism could make a little bit of cash on the side.
let's be honest, though. It's been clear for a long time that Jamie and Martin Luther probably would have butted heads if they were around at the same time. Okay,
maybe. Yeah.
I've always said it. Jamie and Martin Luther, like, two opposite ends of the spectrum, my guy. It's like red and blue.
He probably didn't even play WoW, so.
Yeah, he would have played Alliance. That's what I mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he'd play a paladin and just play like crusade music all the time.
So the second group in Ante Purgatory are the late repentant. These are the indolent. Those were too busy or too lazy to repent. people who repented and were also too late to get their last rites, which seems really unfair.
Yeah.
So he describes a lot of these people had been murdered. Like, they died violent deaths before they could be read their last rites, and they're just on the shores of Mount Purgatory, so they're kind of just waiting around.
Could you imagine you get murdered and it's like, oh no, sorry, you didn't cry out repentance while you were getting stabbed. Sorry.
Like you said, dude, 80 billion souls. You got to set the line somewhere and you just got to keep going.
You gotta hold it, man. That's the bureaucracy at work for you, I guess.
Yeah.
The final category within the late repentant are negligent rulers. Because kings and queens are like appointed by God sort of thing, so they kind of get a free pass. Though, if they're negligent, that's it. We're going to get more into some negligent rulers in a moment, because Dante also finds someone named Bellaqua, who is theorized to be the dead friend of Dante's, as he is relieved to find him in purgatory and not in hell.
Pretty wild.
So he's just, like, checking off his Facebook friends, just like, okay, who's where? What's going on here?
Bellaqua checked in at purgatory.
Checking on Facebook.
Checked in as safe.
Checked in as safe. Shores of Mount Purgatory. Like, oh.
Oh, phew. I was so worried.
Who he was in life is not confirmed. The best guess is that Bellaqua was a nickname given to Duccio di Bonavia, which was a musician and friend of Dante's. He also made musical instruments.
Bellaqua, Bonavia. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it could just be a nickname, right?
Yeah.
Records exist stating that Bonavia was alive in 1299 and dead by 1302. So it is assumed he died at some point in and around 1300, where the comedy is set. That's kind of how they figure this is the guy, but it's unconfirmed as to who he actually is. Bellaqua's recognition in modern times is mostly thanks to Samuel Beckett, who wrote Waiting for Godot and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, among other things.
Waiting for Gal Gadot? Damn.
Waiting for Gal Gadot.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Wish it was longer than 28 minutes.
One of Beckett's favorite works is The Divine Comedy, and he identified strongly with Bellaqua's indolence. So, like, I mean, that's good for, like, for an Irish author. He's very resistant to Catholicism, right?
Yeah.
So while Bellaqua is still in the fetal position under a large rock, Dante is relieved to find him safe. And since he isn't damned, he will eventually end up in paradise.
Oh, good. He's safe, crushed under this large rock. Don't worry about it.
Know if he is being weighed down by a stone or whether he's, like, hiding under a stone.
There's no blankets in purgatory, and he's trying to take a nap, so he just grabs a boulder. Cozy. He's Patrick Starr. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Is SpongeBob just purgatory?
Yeah, yeah. Is SpongeBob Dante?
Tell us.
Yeah. Well, they go swimming in the sea at the bottom of the sea, which we talked about earlier, right? Uh-huh. Those alien things.
Yeah. Goo Lagoon would definitely be one of those, like, rivers of muck filled with the wrathful. Right? It's like, mm-hmm, the flagellion, or what? I can't remember these words without reading them in front of me because I'm an idiot. Even though I wrote it.
The phlogiston.
Phlogiston, no, it's had a Y in it.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, they also find Pia di Tolome, who was a noblewoman murdered by her husband, therefore not receiving her last rites, and Sordello, who was a performer and composer from Mantua in northern Italy. Virgil was also from Mantua, but since he's a pagan, allows Sordello to explain the rule of the mountain. Souls can only move up the mountain during the day, since the sun represents God. So there's going to be a lot of timekeeping throughout this episode, because they got a schedule to keep, right?
It's like red light, green light. You can only move when the sun's up. And then if you're caught moving when the sun's down, it's like, oh, back to start.
Back to hell. Oh, no. Playground damnation was my favorite thing to do when I was young.
It's fun being damned forever.
What are you kids doing? Getting damned for all eternity?
Oh my God. So finding out the rules of the mountain, they chill in the Ante for so long that it's now sunset, so Virgil and Dante relax in the Valley of Princes. This is the part that is reserved for negligent rulers. People who are too focused on public or private life to focus on their own spiritual salvation.
Okay. Yeah. Too busy ruling.
All chest day, no leg day. So they were all just like drumstick shaped manlets.
Okay, good. That's my type.
All going around. Yeah. That's what I'm striving. When the gyms reopen, that's what I want to do. I never want to exercise my fucking legs again.
wheel me to the gym, baby.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do drive there.
I got some biceps to blast.
Dante rejoices at finding another friend, Nino Visconti, here in Purgatory and not in Hell. So this is one of those parts where it's still kind of Mary Sue-ish, where it's just like, wow, what are the chances that everybody I love is not in Hell? Except for that one guy I accused of being a sodomite who's like wandering a burning desert. You know, just like, wow, everybody I like is such a good person.
They made totally it.
Frozen up to their necks in ice, so I just like, oops, trip on them or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. See, God agrees with me.
Yeah.
What do you mean? The proof that God agrees with me is right there. I wrote it in a poem. You know what, Your Honor? The defense rests. He did write it in a poem.
He did write it down himself and say that he was right. So,
yeah. You know what? Screw it. We'll just pay for him to be absolved.
Yeah, 700 years later. Finally, Dante crashes at around 8:30 p.m. that night, like a nerd, for a good night's sleep.
Well, sun's going down.
In bed, 4-9 in anti-purgatory.
Sun's going down. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Get caught walking up the hill at night? I don't think so.
Not if God's not looking. Then you can't prove that you've been absolved of your sins.
Exactly.
So after getting his 40 winks and submitting himself to the snooze button, Dante rises just after 8 in the morning, finding that someone has carried him past the rabble at the gate, past the rabble on the shores up to the gate of purgatory.
That's convenient.
This is also known as Peter's Gate, which is my political controversy in Vietnam.
Okay, right.
Peter Gate. It's where I didn't know they were recording when I admitted to all those crimes.
Yeah.
There are three steps up to the gate, one that is polished white, reflecting the penitent's true self, one that is just a black rock with a cross cracked into it, representing mourning, and one that is red, representing the blood of Christ.
Now, St. Peter guards the gates, right? To heaven.
No. In heaven, maybe. I haven't read anything about Paradiso yet. This is the gate to purgatory. This is Peter's gate.
What are the gates to heaven called?
The pearly gates? I don't know what they're going to be called here.
Yeah. It's St. Peter, right?
But that's not this, though.
That's not this, though. We're not going to heaven. We're in purgatory.
All I'm saying is there's a parallel here, guys.
Jamie, I'm
wondering when St. Peter was first assigned to... Yeah, St. Peter, guarded by St. Peter. To that role, if it was before or after this Dante fellow.
After this was written?
Yeah,
at the gate of purgatory, Peter's gate is guarded just by like an angel valet who carries an unsheathed sword. At this time, the angel is too bright for Dante to look at. However, Virgil tells the angel that they have a doctor's note from Beatrice and Mary, and also tells Dante to sack up and climb up three stairs.
Okay. So, like, everything has swords because this was written back when swords were like the weapon,
the high tech thing, right?
Would they all have like AK-47s if we wrote a Bible today? Or
it's
like, just, how would that go?
It's all drones.
If we wrote a Bible today,
yeah. God has drones, dude. Obviously,
yeah. It would just be robots all the way up.
By the way, every
time a bell rings, a drone gets its motors.
Yeah, yeah. A drone gets a civilian casualty.
Oh my God. Jesus.
St. Peter, keys to the kingdom in this thing called the Bible. So, was that, it doesn't give a date, so I don't know if it was written before or after this Dante thing. I guess there's no way to really tell.
I think the Bible's a spinoff. I'm not sure.
Of Dante's spinoff. That makes sense, yeah.
I haven't read the Paradiso part yet. I don't know where they got the idea.
The Bible is great satire.
Dante crawls up the three steps and begs the angel for one more hit of that sweet, sweet God. The angel agrees. However, he uses the tip of his sword to carve 7-letter P's into Dante's forehead.
Peter.
He states, "Take heed that thou wash these wounds when thou shalt be within."
Pee pee poo poo pee pee poo is what it stands for.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
One P represents the old Italian word peccatum or sin.
Okay.
7 P's for the 7 deadly sins.
That makes more sense than writing Peter into his forehead 7 times.
Yeah. Considering this angel's name is not Peter. He is unnamed.
Well, the gate is called Peter. The gate is called Peter. It's Peter's gate.
Oh, the gate. That's true. Yeah.
It's like it's a Baldur's Gate spinoff, Peter's Gate.
Yeah, it's D&D. It's like 2.0.
Yeah.
It's Purgatorio.
It's just a flash game that has like 7 items in it. Yeah. And that's it.
So while passing through each terrace, the idea is that the angel guarding the exit will heal one of the peas and allow Dante and Virgil to go through. It's like the opposite of a membership card. So every time you get to a new gate, they peel a sticker off.
Okay.
So that you can then get into Paradise.
So then Paradise is a free sub.
A free 6-inch sub. I mean, footlong is ridiculous. We're not made of money here.
Yeah. So maybe they don't peel the sticker off. They just put a sticker over one of the peas.
Oh, so you just end up with a bunch of fucking stickers on your card?
They just give you a Band-Aid.
There's lore for why they canceled that whole plan of stickers on subway cards, by the way. I forgot the story, but I remember it being interesting.
Okay. Is that the next episode? Is that your next episode?
Yes, What happened to the stickers for your free sub at Subway Card?
They've got a good villain, I'll tell you that.
That's I was going to say. something using stickers to lure children? I don't know. Hey.
So after giving their emails to the angel, he unlocks the gate using a silver key and a golden key. They represent remorse and reconciliation, respectively. And shortly thereafter, they hook up the original Xbox and play a little Truth and Reconciliation in Halo, because Dante wants to get his hands on that fucking sniper.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
Yeah. So after they finish the level on Legendary, the angel warns the poets never to look back.
Okay.
Look back down the mountain.
Easily done.
Yep.
The best view... When you're climbing a mountain, the best view, straight ahead at the mountain.
Thankfully, we learned how to climb upwards on the way here. Don't you worry. We're not going feet first up this mountain, dude.
Yeah.
Don't like we figured it out back on Satan's balls.
Virgil slowly lying down on his back and like crawling, like dragging himself up with his feet. And Dante just like, dude, no, not like that. Remember?
He just said no. Sorry. No, I don't know any better. We now come to the 7 terraces of Purgatory. As I said earlier, they represent the 7 deadly sins.
Mm-hmm.
These differ from the rings of hell due to them being more psychological in nature, so it's motive and not action. So it's the difference between wanting someone dead and murdering somebody.
Okay.
So he does place a different weight on something like that, which does make sense. Like, if I wanted someone dead right now, you'd never know unless I did something or told you. Jamie.
Yikes.
The first 3 sins are categorized as love of the harm of others. The 4th is defective love, and the final 3 are the overbearing love of good things. And each terrace earns Dante a free Virgin Mary trading card. Basically,
defective love sounds so like an 80s pop song. Like,
it's another good band name.
Tainted and love,
another good podcast that we could start.
Yeah, defective love. It'll be a dating podcast where we date each other.
Yeah, that would not work out.
Wow. Well, I guess if you want to kill Jamie and all, then
yeah.
Gets awkward fast.
So the first terrace is Pride. Keeping with the scheduling, Dante and Virgil ascend to Pride around 9 in the morning. On this terrace, there are many statues depicting humility, such as the trading card here is Mary with the angel Gabriel. Okay. The Roman Emperor Trajan is also there, as well as an expanded Lord's Prayer. So they have like a director's cut of the Lord's Prayer in Pride.
Nice.
Prideful souls are bent over carrying huge rocks, though as all things are in purgatory, it's temporary. So depending on how long you are prideful, triple that, carry the rock.
Gotcha.
Okay, speaking of carrying rocks, one of our fans just sent over my Minecraft skin that he finished making for me.
Nice.
Cool as hell.
I'm glad you're paying attention. All this shit about the 7 deadly sins isn't going to be on the test.
Yeah. Want to dig to hell with the lore boys? Just tune into our Minecraft server on Discord.
First you can get 20 diamonds, then you can get Satan's balls.
My first house in Minecraft is going to be shaped like Satan's balls at the center of the earth.
Perfect. But they got to be upside down because you got to turn.
Yeah, upside down no matter which way you look at them.
Yeah. It's like the Mona Lisa's eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are upside down no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people that Dante recognizes on the Terrace of Pride is Umberto Aldobrandeschi, who was a dead Italian count. Though he is alive, Dante actually recognizes his own prideful part in this game. He says, quote, I fear much more the punishment below. My soul is anxious in suspense. Already I feel the heavy weights of the first terrace. So he is recognizing himself as kind of a prideful person. He's just like, if I die, I'm going to end up here. I guarantee it, carrying a big fucking rock.
Well, I'm not prideful. What, a 1,300-page, like, self-aggrandizing fan fiction is suddenly prideful? Come on. Come on. This is unfair. Like, oh, so unfair.
He also sees some familiar carvings of Satan, the construction of the Tower of Babel, and King Saul. The pair arrive at another gate guarded by an angel, the Angel of Humility. Dante hears the beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, and then after the angel brushes one of the peas off of his forehead to heal it, he finds that climbing the mountain is easier. So every terrace, remove a pea, the weight of sin is kind of taken off.
It's a lot easier when you're not carrying all that pea.
Yeah, which is stored in the balls, yeah. Just like gravity or whatever. The next terrace.
That's very stupid.
Gravity is stored on the balls. Gravity changed my mind. This is your episode title. The next terrace is envy. This is the sin that looks on with grudging hatred upon other men's gifts and good fortune, taking every opportunity to run them down and deprive them of their happiness. So it's just fucking Twitter. That's it. When they enter the Terrace of Envy, they hear voices on the wind telling everybody how fucking cool generosity is, and they see another scene from the life of the Virgin Mary, the one where she encouraged Jesus to perform his first miracle during the spring season of suburban t-ball.
So this is the this is the realm of change.org petitions.
Exactly. Yeah.
Change.org totally petitions, as far as you guys can see. There, I saw one the other day. It was to stop the war in Yemen. Like,
yeah, I saw that. I saw that too.
Do we really think that they're going to listen to the people at Change.org?
Oh no! 80 people signed this. We better stop. Fucking,
oh no! 80,000 people in the Americas signed this. Like, ooh.
Well, battle's over, guys. Yeah. Where was I here? Right. Also in this on this tariff, we find Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, having murdered his brother Abel, who rolls deep with the big J that we discussed in the last episode.
Jod.
Yep.
Well, Jod, you know, Jesus' father. I mean, Jesus' father.
I'm really unclear why beating his brother to death was less shitty than being jealous of him, because Cain is not in hell for murder. He's in purgatory temporarily for the envy of Abel, which is weird because Abel was in limbo in hell until Jesus went to get him.
I mean, it's not a perfect system, you know? we keep saying that some people slip through the cracks.
Yeah, I also think it's funny because purgatory is temporary, so at some point he's going to have to like go to dinner with his parents and brother, like up in heaven, like, hey man, I brought cheap fireworks.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's it. What the fuck? I signed a couple petitions. There was one that said, don't stone your brother to death. So we
death with a bat or like the leg of a stable or something like that.
I signed one that said, don't stone your brother, but I figure it pretty much covers the same bases, right? So we're cool, right? Hey, can you pass the gravy?
Yeah. Hey, Mom.
Mom, did you make my bed yet? I'm home. You better not change my room. Abel's not been in here, has he? Don't make me get the table leg. Huh? No, I'm just kidding. We're cool. It's cool.
He still looks such a dickhead. In the mid-afternoon, the Angel of Charity approaches to heal another pea on Dante's forehead. The angel then flies Dante and Virgil up to the next terrace. However, he is still too imbued with perfection for Dante to look at. He still has to keep his eyes closed when the angel is present. It's still just like staring at a lamp, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, all the angels are lamps. They're the Pixar lamps.
Yeah.
Charity, who is not a cheap stripper, drops the boys off on the Terrace of Wrath.
Charity is a... Yeah. I'm pretty sure I know a cheap stripper named Charity, though.
Yeah, just like the angel shows up. He can't stare, but he has to close his eyes and look down. He's just like a bunch of dollar bills stuffed into his...
Yeah. There's two rules. You won't be able to look at me, and no touching. Unless you want
to... On this terrace.
Yeah, unless you want to go to the back room, and then we're kind of loose with the rules. That's pretty charitable of them, honestly. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. The angel of charity probably would do that. So here,
I'll let you touch a little.
Touch my abs.
Yeah, yeah. No higher, honey.
On the belt. Yeah. So yeah, up to the Terrace of Wrath, the third one. Here, the example of meekness is called the Finding of the Temple, which is from the Gospel of Luke. It's also known as Christ Among the Doctors, and it tells the story of a 12-year-old Kevin McAllister being left behind by mistake in a temple by his parents, Mary and Joseph.
Okay.
However, three days later, when he showed back up, after getting directions from Donald Trump, presumably,
yeah.
he was reunited, and Mary was loving and understanding, whereas most parents would be angry. So Mary kept her cool, meaning she was not wrathful towards the young Kevin McAllister.
Well, you'd think she'd be especially angry because she opened the door and there was a makeshift flamethrower that lit her hair on fire whenever she opened the door in the temple, you know? So
he gets hit in the head with a paint can.
Yeah, yeah. His dad, Joseph, was pretty mad because there was some Hot Wheels on the ground and he just tripped down them right into the basement. And then once he was in the basement, he was stuck down there. There's a bunch of glue on the floor. It was pandemonium.
The wrathful wander around in acrid smoke, which I had to Google because I had no idea what that meant. It's basically like tear gas. It just is something that is foul smelling, bitter tasting, and burns your eyes.
It's a great word that I've only ever read, and I would have pronounced it acrid.
Really? I pronounce it that way because I also left a side note here. The acrid are also the race of thermal powered Gatorade spiders from the Lost Planet video games.
Okay, cool. Well,
they refer to them as Acrid in that game.
Probably a lot of crossover between the Bible and the Lost Planet video game.
And the Lost Planet franchise. Exactly. Paradise is just fucking lousy with Gatorade spiders.
Yeah, yeah.
Was Lost Planet was a PlayStation game?
I played it on 360.
Okay, I think I had it on like a PlayStation 2 demo disc or something like that.
That's I like the first one. They're kind of neat and weird. I never played the second or third, though.
Oh, they're those like you're in the Arctic and it's like a mech game, right?
The third one has mechs in it.
Okay.
The first one, it's like you constantly have to, like the bugs, there's giant bugs on an ice planet and they have like this orange goo inside them and you constantly have to pick it up. Like your health is always ticking down because you need to kill to replenish your whatever. It's just bright orange. It looks like Gatorade. Like that's it.
Anyway.
Sponsored by G Fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
drink Red Bull. It'll give you orange goo inside that people will try and crack you open for to keep them alive. we're earning our sponsorship dollars today, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Working hard for it.
The prayer associated with this terrace is the Angus Dei. Lamb of God, you who take away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us, grant us peace.
Okay.
Dante finds time to debate Marco Lombardo on free will. However, at time of writing, it is unconfirmed whether Lombardo was ever even a real person. So, again, it was just like, yeah, and I was in wrath, right? And I debated with this dude and just like just destroyed him with facts and logic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His name's Marco Lombardo. It's like, who the fuck is he? You know, you can look him up.
No,
don't.
Yeah. Yeah, Marco Lombardo, you don't know him, dude. He was like the greatest debater of like the Roman era. Like,
yeah,
dude, I'm pretty sure he wasn't. No, okay. Do you really want to debate me, dude? I beat Marco Lombardo in a debate. Okay, you don't want to debate me right
Marco
now.
Lombardo
okay?
is in no way just like a Ben Shapiro sock puppet Twitter to he can just fight. Yeah.
He's got like a nice himself.
Yeah, yeah. Forgot to log out in one of them.
It's got a good rhymey name too. Yeah. It sounds like made up. Oh, Jim Bob Nimrod.
Yeah. Marco Lombardo, lousy with debates. He's terrible. He's an idiot. I was right about everything.
Yeah.
Especially with free will.
No, he was
Meanwhile,
very smart.
Meanwhile, I am ascending the mountain of purgatory to go talk to God. So the angel of peace guards the exit to wrath. And before blinding him with light and ferrying him off to the next terrace, we see other, he sees visions of other examples of wrath. One of which is Lavinia of Roman myth. She is the final wife of Aeneas of Virgil Aeneid fame. So the epic poem that he wrote, she's one of the characters in that. Giovanni Boccaccio, who put the divine in Divine Comedy, if we remember, wrote about her in a collection about historical and mythological women in the 1360s. Boccaccio's book is notable as the first collection dedicated exclusively to the women of Western literature.
Okay. As opposed to the men.
Or a mix of both. I mean, primarily most things were written about men, especially in the medieval times.
Yeah.
But opposed to mixing or anything like that, he wrote a book that was entirely just a collection about historical and
mythical. About the ladies.
Oh, man, Boccaccio? Yeah, man. the Angel of Peace arrives and brings them up to Sloth. This is the defective love.
Right.
So it's just laziness.
I would love, but I'm too lazy.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm just
going to
masturbate
catch your breath on Sloth.
Same.
What? Sorry.
A lot of work, this whole love thing.
Yeah.
It implies loss in the whole thing of it, too.
Yeah. I got Cheetos and porn, man. I'm good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hell yeah.
Just chill here. If you wanted to catch your breath on one
got
of these
some ketchup Doritos, actually.
No fucking way. I was just making fun of those earlier. Are they good?
I like them.
If you like ketchup chips, I bet.
Yep.
Yeah, I like ketchup chips.
Not a fan.
Canada problems.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to catch your breath on a terrace, you came to the wrong fucking place, idiot. This part is separate from the others, as you've got three at the beginning, one in the middle, three at the end, terrace-wise. Sloth demands that those there remain too busy to chat. Dante doesn't even see anybody famous or talk to anybody. He just sees a bunch of, like, fucking Italian politicians just like feverishly stapling papers together that are all and just like constantly organizing things. They don't have any time to talk to Dante. He doesn't have any time to like even recognize anybody.
If you've got time to lean, you've got time to clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a secret shopper on this level who's timing everybody and checking how long their breaks are. So fucking Peter,
so yeah,
Peter like, sister's there just fucking narking on people, you know. It's
oh my
it's a big
god
problem.
Yeah, like it's like I'm starting to recognize one of these souls has been here for quite some time. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think she would have gone up to paradise at some point. She's like cover's blown.
Yeah, yeah.
Get me out of here, god. Yeah. And just like disappear to a cloud of smoke,
just turns around to face down the hill and like Raiders of the Lost Ark herself back into heaven,
just like melts. So Dante didn't even put any like politicians that had wrong opinions in this part. Sloth is just like too busy. Just it's I don't know, it's giving me conniptions. I don't want to stay here. It's making me nervous.
Yeah, that's it.
Get the fuck out of here. There is a beatitude for this terrace, and it is blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And not wanting to let a good thing go to waste, Dante and Virgil are just like, I don't care about all these jobbers. They actually sleep for the night on the terrace of Sloth.
Okay.
Yeah, because they're alive and also not condemned to purgatory, so they get to nap.
One of them's alive.
Yeah, Dante is.
Half of them.
It's like, oh yeah, do you want to pull a sick prank, Dante? No, not really. It's just like, no, come on, let's sleep in front of all the people in Sloth, man. It's
yeah, yeah.
They're going to be so pissed.
Yeah. Well, at least the ones behind us will be.
Yeah, exactly. Climbing up backwards.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you'd never get to see their faces, though.
No. Oh,
this
shit.
Is hellish,
that's probably
dude.
Why.
All
that's
these great pranks, why. And you can't even see the reactions.
While sleeping in Sloth, Dante dreams of a siren representing greed, gluttony, and lust before being awakened by the Angel of Zeal, which is the opposite of Sloth. This angel Thank removes you. Another P and brings Dante and Virgil to the fifth terrace.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Terrace 5 is Avarice, reserved for those whose love of earthly goods was too extreme for Dante and God.
They have greed, but they're not that greedy.
They are either greedy, ambitious, or extravagant.
Well, that's but because purgatory is, they don't act on it, right? They're like, they have want for nice things, but they don't get nice thing.
Or they have only one like pipe to smoke their tobacco, but it's an extravagant one, and they have to only get their it's got gold studs on it, and it had like they don't have a million of them, but the one thing they do have, they're very proud of it. It's extravagant.
There's one guy there who never bought anything his whole life, but his family got him a gold plated tombstone when he was gone. So they're like, oh yeah, sorry man.
Yeah, I mean you wouldn't have to be in purgatory that long. It's just like three times as long as. Something I don't know how would that even work, because obviously since you can exhume and try people who are dead, mm-hmm. or statues like we discussed I don't know, if your parents got you something extra or if your family got you something extravagant after you died, I could totally see you getting punished in purgatory.
Oh man, you know what we should do? Oh never mind, I'll save it for another time, another idea.
All right, yeah.
I mean, you have eternity. You might as well grab a couple of those rungs of purgatory on the way up, right? Or else you'll never know what it was like.
That's true. It'll make 30 so that much better.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, how good is paradise if you haven't at least spent a little time in purgatory, sleeping under big rocks, or fucking inhaling tear gas? Like, yeah. You're like getting into heaven, just like washing your eyeballs out with milk. You're just like. So was it worth it? Like, I guess. I don't fucking know.
You know, this milk doesn't really help.
I was awake for like, I think like 4 days straight, man. Yeah.
Then your eyes clear, and it's God's teat himself giving you the milk just in your eyes.
Oh God!
He's dousing you from his big godly jugs.
As yeah, he is both Christian God and one of those like Bronze Age fertility goddesses. That's just like the titties and the gut. Like made of clay.
Yeah. This is not the episode for the evangelical Protestants out there.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you want to donate to our Patreon and get us a private fucking jet, then
yeah,
I'll say whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe we could get on the air on whatever channel they show those fucking televangelists on, right?
Yeah. I think they have their own channels.
Well, yeah, for sure. But maybe we could get on it. The God Network or whatever it is. You know?
That's probably what somebody an actual evangelical preacher would call his network. Yeah.
I have no doubt.
Where was I here? Right. The avaricious, right. The avaricious lie face down on the ground, repeating the psalm, oh my God, Adhaesit pavimento anima mea.
I know how it goes.
Is about avaricious the death. To
avaricious death. All right, okay.
Avaricious definition make them boys go crazy.
Okay. Yeah, it's avaricious was God was getting a little too old to be doing pop music, but nobody told him no, so he did avaricious.
Yeah.
Dante and Virgil meet Pope Adrian V, an example of a holy man corrupted by ambition and desire, all the while being under the influence of, again, Charles of Anjou, who is like really kind of the background villain of Purgatorio here.
Okay.
He's got his fingers in many pies, right. But I guess he was alive at this point because he's not in hell and isn't in purgatory, right, in 1300 at least.
Just sowing seeds.
Yeah, exactly. Also here is Hugh the Great, who is Duke of the Franks in the mid 900s, and King Midas, who is not a real person, but he
Hugh what?
Hugh the Great. What?
Say that again. This man is a sexist. Hugh the Great.
Oh, humongous!
Yeah. Oh, right. Jeez.
Humongous what?
Hugh the Great what? Hugh the Great what?
Yeah.
This man assaulted me.
There's a nice 2017 throwback for all our listeners.
Yeah. We're born probably.
Up with the times we are.
And King Midas is also an avarice. I want you guys to guess how long Adrian V was pope for.
5 days.
6 days.
38 days.
Damn.
They didn't even ordain him as a priest. So he didn't even... He got elected as pope because, again, he was under the influence of Charles of Anjou, who was pulling all the strings, and he died before being ordained. There was another pope prior to him, a little earlier in the 1200s, who was pope for 16 days, and... They never even counted the votes. They were like counting votes, and it's like, oh, there we go. It's this guy. And he'd been dead. He was dead already.
Wow.
Just kidding. Yeah. They felt bad. Like, oh, guys, We should have given it to him while he was alive, I guess. Let's just give it to him.
Technically elected, so it's just like,
Jamie, I Price is Righted you on that question. And
I noticed.
I just want to stop the podcast. Is Price is Righting someone a sin? You know what? I take it back. I repent, and
You're talking about it, so that's a little prideful.
No, I'm talking about it in a sorrowful way. I want to rescind my guess of 6. I don't know. I'll go with like 12 or something.
Okay. I'll go with like 38.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever. Actually, you know, now that you mentioned it, that's probably a better one to go with. Yeah.
So I'll like that you didn't use your second chance to guess right.
Well, you said 38. I don't know.
Twice. It's very humble. The angel of humility is going to love that.
Yeah, he tricked me. Is tricking me a sin? Should be.
It's fraudulent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's guess health shit, that's healthier shit though.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get roasted, dude. You're
roasted, yeah. Dude.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. Me and the bubbling pitch and oh no, these demons are so mean.
Yeah.
So despite the fact that he's, you know, in purgatory, Adrian still gives Dante and Virgil directions. He helps them get through the terrace. The Virgin Mary trading card from this terrace is the humble birth of Christ himself. So the day she became a mother.
Okay.
Yeah. An earthquake rumbles through the mountain, and Dante is curious, but for some reason doesn't ask Virgil to explain. It's just like inner monologue, just like, that was odd.
Most of you.
Not ask the guy who got me safely through hell. What the fuck's going on? They then come upon the poet Statius, who is also Roman, and he greatly admired Virgil's work. So this is the poet, the classical poet sandwich. You've got bottom bread, Virgil, middle bread, Statius, or Statius, and then top bread.
Dante,
exactly. They're the perfect classical club.
Yeah, where Statius is Satan and his balls, and then Virgil and Dante are a piece of bread on either side of the earth.
Yeah, exactly. That would be a very... I don't know if they intended that when they were just like, set up a Satan's balls sandwich. If there's lore people out there who listen to this and can figure out if they're antipodal to a different lore person, you better fucking send us a picture of you guys making a, like a Satan's balls sandwich.
Yeah.
Do it.
Or if anyone's antipodal to Montreal.
I was thinking how hungry I was until you guys started making the sandwich about his balls.
Rocky Mountain oysters, baby.
Dude.
Rocky Mountain devil oysters.
Yeah. So Statius is like... So you remember how in Inferno, Dante like gets to fanboy out and hang out with like Homer, and they all tell him how cool they think he is?
Yep.
Statius fanboys out over
Virgil,
because the Aeneid had inspired his own work, the Thebaid.
Thebaid?
So this,
it's got to be Thebe, right?
It's Thebaid. The Thebaid.
I would think Thebe, just like Thebes, right? The city?
Thebes is E-B-E, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Thebaid. I don't fucking know. Whatever. Anyway, he was a big fan of Virgil and wrote a different epic Roman poem about it.
So this was Dante after criticism in the Inferno, where they're like, dude, it's so unrealistic that you have all these people just like fawning over you. He's like, so like he gets to Purgatory and he's like, no, look, they do for Virgil too, dude. It's not just me. Like, no, it's just like, I mean, like dead poets love other poets, dude. It's like
simps all the way down.
Yeah. Yeah. Dante and his OnlyFans. Like, yeah. Did we make that joke last time? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm probably OnlyFans would definitely be, I don't think it's a sin, but you'd probably end up in purgatory for a little while if you simped on an OnlyFans.
It's got to be lust.
Lust is one of the seven deadly sins. We'll get to it, but it's not like if you can't really act on it. On OnlyFans, it's by its nature like non-physical. So, like, if you simp on OnlyFans, you would be purgatory and not actual the circle of hell.
Oh, you're like shit, buying pornography too, though. Porn is in there somewhere in one of those sins, and I think lust is probably
it
one
would
of them.
Probably be lust, yeah.
And if that person, a lot of OnlyFans people have a husband or another partner, and you're not supposed to look at your neighbor's wife or whatever.
They're still not covet.
Coveting, yeah, coveting, that's kind of a combo. Avarice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next week we'll let you know where you'll end up in the afterlife if you sign OnlyFans. Yeah.
Now remember, they went to bed, so this is day 2 on the Mountain of Purgatory. All right, but Statius, excuse me, he explains the tremors from earlier. These occur when a soul is ready to ascend to paradise. So the entire mountain shakes when somebody's punching out, basically. It's just like, I'm done, boys. I'm going to the island. It's all good. Well, I guess that'd be the movie The Island and not the actual island of purgatory, right?
ScarJo and Ewan McGregor?
Fan out a bit. Sorry?
ScarJo and Ewan McGregor?
Yeah. I kind of like that movie. It's dumb. But
it was dumb and fine.
Yeah. Statius continues to fan out a bit with Virgil and grills him about the other rad poets of antiquity that he gets to hang with in Limbo. So he's just like, man, did you meet him? Did you meet Homer? Is he there? Oh, fuck, is he cool? Like, they have a conversation and Virgil just kind of entertains this and tells Statius about all the different people that he gets to hang with as guiltless damned.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, actually, like, we did meet Homer. He was really cool, but he loved my friend Dante here, dude. Like, you should have seen it.
In Purgatorio, Dante presents Statius as having been baptized and was like a secret Christian in Rome because it was still illegal at that time when he was alive.
Okay.
Anyway, around brunch time, the trio arrive fittingly at Gluttony. So now they've got a third wheel. Statius is going with.
Oh, nice. Picked up a straggler.
Yeah, and well, another rad poet, right? We poets got to stick together.
Dead Poet Society.
Two of them are dead. Yeah. Gluttony is where they arrive around brunch time, around 11. This covers food, drink, and bodily comforts. The gluttonous are punished by talking trees whose fruit is too high up for them to reach.
What's the matter, shorty? You want an apple? Come on, jump for it, fatty. Come on. Like,
fucking, this might be way too Canadian of a reference. Do you remember the grumpy tree from Dudley the Dragon?
No. I do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, the trees, while teasing people, also give them examples of generosity. So you're trying to pick fruit from these trees, all the while they're just telling you, like, just giving you fucking unsolicited advice, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
The Virgin Mary example here is her encouraging Jesus to share his gifts at the wedding at Cana. This is the first miracle attributed to Jesus in the Gospel of John, where he turns water into wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I was like, oh, I was like reading all this random crap and I'm like, oh, that's something I recognize.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Dante is now getting used to seeing angels and having most of his sins erased from his forehead, as the angel of temperance can be seen without blinding him. However, the angel still appears like red hot metal or molten glass.
Okay.
And he still does the whole trade your pee and move on ritual thing. He just
trade,
like,
your
thanks.
Pee, get a wrist stamp. Good.
Yeah, exactly. It smells like Red Bull. You've been drinking too much.
No re-entry.
Yeah. The seventh and final terrace is lust. Here, the lustful must leap back and forth through a wall of fire, praising chastity and marital fidelity.
Well, this is like this is by far the hardest one. My God. This is insane.
Another weird old-timey part here. They must also give examples of lust. So homosexuals need to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, while heterosexuals need to talk of Pasiphae.
Okay. Elaborate, please.
Sodom and Gomorrah were the twin party cities, basically, that God just deemed way too radical, so he blew them up.
Those I'm aware of. Well, he blew one up, and the other he turned everyone to pillars of salt, right?
I think he only turned Lot's wife into salt. I don't really know.
Okay.
I didn't look that up.
Sure.
He destroyed them. Pasiphae, I didn't know anything about. Pasiphae is one of the daughters of Helios, the Greek god of the sun.
Right.
She was cursed by Poseidon with lust and mated with a white bull that he also sent, then giving birth to the Minotaur, whom Minos, the first king of Crete and judge of Limbo, would feed children to. If you guys remember that from the last one.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah. Daedalus, father of Icarus, was like, not to worry, ma'am, I'll help you. He created a wooden cow so she could still get off without doing bestiality.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I mean, you got upgrades, right? Like,
that's nice.
It's like, I mean, it's like in today's day and age, there's lots of inventive dildo shapes.
Yeah. It's not gay if you fuck a wooden man.
No. Okay, like, Peter's laughing, but it's not, okay? It's I insist, it is not, okay? Guys, stop laughing.
Jesus Christ. So, to get out of lust, they actually do have to pass through the flames. Dante's not into this. Dante is afraid to enter the flames, but speaks with the two poets. Speaks with two poets that he recognizes. Arno Daniel.
Is not Daniel. Your grammar's a little off there.
Arno is known as the Grand Master of Love.
Oh, wow. Baby.
Yeah, that's his posthumous title. He was also a poet. And then there was another one here named Guido Guinizelli, which sounds like a fake Italian name.
Again, sounds like a made-up name, you know?
Yeah.
I got Jimbo Timbo and Guidi Guinzali spaghetti.
Guido Guinizelli, yeah. Exactly. I'll have the... Is there shrimp in the Guinizelli?
Yeah.
Normally, but we can take it out. Could you substitute it for scallops? Yes, one scallop Guinizelli.
Yeah, yeah. And what's this one? The Guido Guinizelli. Oh, that's our house specialty. That's We bake it in the oven with a covering of cheese.
Ooh. Oh, honey, it's like escargot. Let's get that.
Oh, Jesus. You're making me spend so much again, dear. I don't care if it's our anniversary. We're not made of money.
Yeah, but those two would be totally fine. You talk about how great like marital fidelity is. Just like it's like jumping through the wall of fire. It's like, buy your wife expensive pasta.
Yeah. Yeah. You could go a little nuts on date night.
Yeah. Like just good relationship advice, jumping through a wall of fire.
Yeah. Try listening to her.
Guinizelli was the first to write in the Dolce Stil Novo, or the sweet new style of poetry, and Dante considers himself to be a disciple of Guinizelli.
Okay, there you go.
Big fan of the baked cheese on top, I guess.
Right. Yeah. We all are, I mean.
Yeah. Dante is still pretty unsure about how safe this wall of fire is. However, he is convinced when he is told that Beatrice is on the other side in earthly paradise, the Garden of Eden, which is at the peak of the mountain. On the other side of the firewall, Dante rests one more time. So he does pass through.
My 13-year-old girlfriend's on the other side of that. I'm jumping through.
She died before I could creepily marry her. Yeah. Hold on.
Read the lore. She's actually 2,000 years old.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
She's in the body of a 13-year-old.
Yeah. I think Jamie...
For 1,000 years.
Yeah. I think Jamie might be guilty of the crime of weeabooism. Or the, the sin of weeaboo.
You're sleeping on the beaches of purgatory with the other fucking weebs. The sweaty beanbag chair. So on the other side of the firewall, after being convinced, the three jump through and Dante rests one more time. This is where we will rest as well. So just like last time, the final leg of this section will be reserved for our final comedy episode, our comedy podcast, Paradiso. So we will start with the Garden of Eden on my next one.
Oh, shit. The Garden of Eden's in there?
Yep. I've heard Earthly Paradise, baby.
That's the one. I wonder where that is.
I wonder what ever happened to that slippery snake who got them to eat the thing. I wonder if he's still there, if he's allowed to be there.
I mean, where's that snake that stole one of God's Capri Suns?
Yeah.
Gave it to Eve.
Well, so we know where the devil is.
Purgatorio, fellas.
Cool.
That was it?
What did you think?
Wow.
That's it. Wow. Up to the Garden of Eden now.
I thought we were covering the game Factorio until we got started, but this was good.
This actually makes a lot more sense as part of a religious text.
Although, you know what? A lot of similarities. Really? Like, Factorio, as addictive as it is, really does feel like, you know, it feels like the what was it, Broken Love or whatever? The
Terrace of Sloth, because you're constantly busy, right?
It's busy work, yeah. It's just you're constantly constantly busy. That's Factorio.
Minecraft would probably be on Sloth.
Yeah, also.
Like any kind of grindy game with no end goal. It's just like you sit down and just like, yeah, here, we only have the Division 1 on Xbox 360. Just like,
Yeah, so, if I was guilty of anything, it'd be Sloth and Gluttony, because I'd order a pizza and play Minecraft all night. Sounds great.
So I have been your host, your Virgil. I don't know if I made that joke last time. Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me at Pete O'Donoghue on Twitter and at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Come check us out. Tell us we're handsome and smart. And Ethan, if I wanted to jump through a wall of fire talking about chastity with you, how would I do that?
I'm the follower of the host. Your follower of the host tonight, Dante. I don't know if I made that joke last episode. No, I'm Ethan. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man. If you like the show, leave us a review. Check us out on the internet. Google Lore Boys. I think we come up now on the Google.
I think so.
So if you like what you hear, give us a Google, would you? Google me.
And I am the third follower, the Google Stadia or whatever his name was.
it sure as hell is dead. So if they picked up a spare Stadia in Purgatory, I'm sure that's where they got put on clearance.
Yeah, Stadia, the forgettable
runs
one
on Red Bull.
Yeah. we actually have an email this week, which if you guys would like to send us emails, we do read them all on the air. That's at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. Loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. Like the Google Mail, like the Google Stadia.
Or contact at loreboys.com.
Yep.
Yes.
You can find, if you go to loreboys.com, you can find like a contact link as well.
All
and your
contacts.
Free merch.
Yeah. So this is actually an email that dates back to one of my favorite things to research, the Arthas, the two Arthas episodes we did, Arthas Menethil, and then I forgot the part two, Arthas Menethil. It's
Lich
the story.
King.
Yeah, the Lich King. Yeah. It's the story
sense.
Of Warcraft 3, and it's a really good one. And it's titled, the email is, Ogden, the Man, the Myth, the Stable Boy. And this is from Dalton. And basically, back then, whenever we were going through it, there's a stable boy that had the name of, and you guys cut me off. And you're like, no, he's Ogden. And you would not,
yes.
You would not let me say the name, so we just moved on. So this is Dalton's email. Hey, guys, I just emailed y'all. It's a habit to type lol. So you can lol away. We love the lols. We farm the lols here. But so, and he keeps saying, but I'm going to hit you with a deep cut. We need the lore to Ogden the stable boy from Arthas Part 1 and 2. Jamie, hope that's how you spell it. No, it's not. The I is between the M and the
yeah,
E.
Yeah, he wrote Jaime.
He wrote I love in French.
J'aime.
Oh, j'aime.
Yeah. Said that he had more backstory and hinted he had a different name. We need to know more about this mysterious boy. For all we know, he could be the reason for the cataclysm. And then he said, lol, not a real suggestion. Just thought it was a funny thought. And again, sorry for another email. Have a good one. Never apologize, Dalton. I love the emails. And I even went to the trouble of pulling up the lore for Ogden, who is really named Yarum.
Well, that doesn't sound right. I'm pretty sure it's Ogden, though. The official Lore Boys canon. Yeah, okay, what website are you looking this up on, okay? Are you looking this up on the loreboys.com, the official site of Arthas Menethil lore?
Or there's an actual book that this is referenced to that I read, so I don't know. We've never done the physical kind of stuff yet.
Well, when you think about it.
About the Divine Comedy, what we're doing right now. I don't think that was Dante's blog.
We haven't,
how cool Homer thought he was.
Well, what I'm saying is we haven't made anything. So to cite us over a physical something is, I don't know. I guess do it if you want.
Thank you. I do.
Yeah. So the Balnir farmstead is where Invincible the horse was born.
Right.
And he was there with, it was Arthas as a boy and Yarum Balnir, who is the son of Yoram, and the mother's not listed here, but I know she has a name.
Gravity is stored in the Balnirs.
So Yarum was the childhood friend of Prince Arthas, and he was there for the birth of Invincible. And during the winter storm that ultimately led to the death of Invincible, where he took that jump and like they found him the next day, Arthas the next day with his dead horse weeping, the part that broke Arthas's soul, probably that let the Lich King in. It was Yarum and his father who actually found Arthas and rescued the prince from freezing to death.
Ogden and his father, yeah. The good news is that Invincible was made out of wood, so it wasn't a sin what Arthas did. For anybody who wants to support the show financially, you guys can go to patreon.com/theloreboys. And we, of course, as always, have Loreboys Prime. This week's Loreboys Prime is pretty special. We were talking earlier about how we couldn't prank people in Purgatory because you can't look back to see their faces. But the good news is we're not in Purgatory yet. So here's the prank, okay? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Everybody, send in as much money as you can. All your earthly possessions. Sell them. Send us the money. What we're going to do is we're going to buy a bunch of 15th century Christians gold headstones, so if they're in Paradiso, they're gonna get sent back to Purgatorio. And then when we finally go, we can be like, oh, gotcha.
just an end bracket, Yarum was killed by the Scourge whenever Arthas went back. So Yarum's dead. Sorry, not to make your joke not funny.
Who's Yarum?
Ogden. Ogden does not allow.
Ogden.
He did not cause Cataclysm, which was Dalton's guess, but yeah, unless he was one of the zombies that helped. But
unless maybe his death triggered Deathwing in some way, you know?
Could have.
Man.
Death and Deathwing have the same word in there, so can't rule it out.
Shit, dude. Lore Boys canon. Ogden did Cataclysm.
Yeah, Blizzard did it again. Awesome. Choice writing.
Make sure to sell all your stuff and send us your money. I think we need that.
And kill any stable boys you find. Maybe maybe it'll purge this world for us. And I guess that would constitute lore boys.
Lore boys.
Out forever. Don't look back.
Don't listen to the old episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.